all fight an outstanding battle today against Anna Bondar in front of this almost home crowd. I was really cheering on for you. What do you think got you through at the end?
Well, definitely the support of you guys was unbelievable, and it's just... This kind of battles, you know, it's never easy, but of course, very pleased with the performance. Anna, you know, we played many times now with her. I'm literally really tired to play against her. But yeah, it was an amazing match. I'm very happy with it, pleased with my performance. And yeah, just really overwhelmed with emotions, to be fair. You know, first round like this is nice, you know, putting you back on track and puts your mind, you know, back working.
As you said, you guys played a lot of times in the past. She has caused you some problems very recently. You're down the set. There is this massive game at the beginning of the third that took you 14 minutes to hold your service game at the beginning of the third. What do you think made the difference at the end in your game that got you the win?
Well, I think mental strength, firstly, and then I think secondly, you know, just my physical conditions, to be fair. You know, thank you to my fitness coach who is over there for making me the athlete I am now. And of course, you know, this kind of battles, lots of emotions, lots of tension, and yeah, you just need to be focused one point at a time. Very happy I could hold that tough second game, and yeah, just went through. She was playing incredible, so I really had to stay tough and bring my best game.
This year on this court on Suzanne Lenglen, the coaching box is a lot lower compared to the other years. And I saw you went to your coach, Andrew Beatles, at the beginning of the third when Anna took a break out of the court at the end of the second. And it was quite a long sort of exchange between you two. What was the key sort of messages he tried to get you through? Because it's not easy when you're in the match to receive those messages. So what was the sort of key elements to get you through that third set?
Well, mostly it's just, you know, like simple things to keep fighting, to keep, you know, going for my shots and really trusting my shots. I think, you know, there's, you know, small, more like mental, you know, adjustments that you have to make, because now is the time where you just put all the hard work on the match court, and had an amazing week last week in Rome. So, of course, I'm...
Your 20th title, by the way. That's a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, about staying strong and finding, you know, the small opportunities to bring, you know, this fighting spirit and fight until the very last point.
Finally, I'm coming to your husband. You had some part of his family that came today to cheer on for you. Obviously, you were on court Philippe Chatrier on Thursday for that special night towards him. He's going to play tonight in night session on Philippe Chatrier. I'm sure you're going to be there cheering him on. What would be the emotions, and what will you tell him just before going on court?
Well, I will tell him just to try to enjoy, you know, these moments, his last moments here on this court. And I think he always brings the best show. And we are just very, I think, lucky people to experience, you know, this his last dance here at Roland Garros. And I'm very, very lucky, you know, to be by his side. And of course, tonight is going to be another show. And I cannot wait to be there supporting him. And of course, you guys, hopefully, to be there and supporting him all the way.
It was an absolute pleasure to have you on this court today. Once again, massive congratulations, and we'll all cheer on for tonight for Gaël Monfils. Mesdames et messieurs, merci encore une fois d'applaudir Elina Svitolina, qualifiée pour le deuxième tour de Roland Garros.
Elina Svitolina through to the second round, as Marion Bartoli said. She played the winner of the match currently on court 14 between Caitlin Jovedo of Spain and Leolia Jean-Jean, and it is Jovedo took the first set 7-6, 3-all in the second. Elsewhere, on court Philippe Chatrier, match that I thought might go long. It's going very one-sided so far. Hugo Humbert has taken the first two sets against Adrian Mannarino, the veteran Frenchman. Humbert seeded 32, leads two sets to love, 6-3, 6-4, and love one.
I think you're slightly under clubbing what you said. You didn't say it was going to go long. You said it was going to take more than 8 hours.
Well, you know, it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it, these matches? Andre Rublev getting underway against Ignacio Buse of Peru. He leads 3-love in the first set. Tanasi Kokkinakis looks like he's going to take his match with Terence Atman to a fifth. Leads 5-3 in the fourth. 2-1 to Atman. Mariana Novone is 2 sets to love up. And a break at 3-2 against Jensen Brookby. Camilo Ugo Carabelli took the first set 12-10 in the tiebreak against Emilio Nava. It's 2-2 in the second. Hubert Hurkacz leads Jaume Munar 6-3, 5-3. On court 8. Victoria Golubic is almost over the line against Pana Udvardi of Hungary. She leads 6-love, 5-2. Talia Gibson trying to finish off her match with Yulia Putintseva. Took the first 6-4. It's 4-4 in the second. And Tommy Paul on court 13 leads Riki Hijikata 4-3 on serve in the opening set. I think we're going to move to court Simon Mathieu, because coming out on court very shortly will be Casper Ruud, the number 15 seed, and Roman Safiulin. That'll be the match to come. But perhaps we can have a quick word about Svitolina. Eleanor?
Yeah.
What was a very tough match in the end.
It was a very tough match, I think, physically as much as anything. And that was about self-belief and, as she said, thanking her fitness coach in her little speech on court there for making her the athlete that she is, because without that I don't think she'd have got through today. It was a great performance from Bondar, actually. It was very clever, and you can see why Svitolina doesn't particularly enjoy playing her.
Absolutely.
So it was I think a good win from Svitolina, not necessarily the best performance, but that's very understandable in conditions like this and against a very, very tricky opponent. A good one to get through, but she will need to improve if she's going to make good on this contender tag that I think she has.
I liked what she said, you know, basically a tough match like this. I think what she meant was that it sort of is a reality check. You know, she won Rome, but she's got to work hard in every match because nothing comes easy. So it's good for her to have this kind of match to reset and go again.
Yeah, and that's one of the toughest things about tennis is, you know, there are no sort of week-long celebrations when you win a tennis tournament. More often than not, you're back at it first round, and you see many, many players win a tournament and then go out first round the next week just because they're mentally and physically spent. And Svitolina regrouped very well and did a very good job against, as we said, a very tricky opponent. I'm interested in this question that we've been asking, which you've been giving us some really good answers on, of the best active players not to have won a Grand Slam title. And we've talked about Svitolina and lots of... There's actually quite a few names on the women's side, could say. What about the men? I mean, Casper Ruud, the man we're about to watch...
Yep. Yep.
Maybe Alexander Zverev?
Yes, exactly. I think Zverev is the man who often gets the nod for that kind of discussion. He's been in a few finals.
Another Olympic champion as well.
Yeah. Tsitsipas.
Yes.
2 Grand Slam finals. Plenty of titles elsewhere. I think Zverev's won more titles than the others. Been around for a bit longer.
Yeah, 29. So he's been around a bit longer, as you say.
And he's been close. I mean, he served for the match against Dominic Thiem at the US Open. Couldn't get it done, and since then has been denied a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably the one. Casper Ruud would have a good shot at it. 3 Grand Slam finals, of course. Twice here.
Yeah.
Just unlucky to come up against Nadal and Djokovic. Sofie Amiak is busy wilting in the heat. You should be used to this. I mean, not in May, obviously. It's a bit hot. Yeah.
Where is the beach?
Quite a long way from here.
It's a very good question.
Quite a long way from here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you could say Andre Rublev as somebody who's certainly underachieved somewhat at Grand Slam level.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all those quarterfinals he's been in. Give us your thoughts at radio_RG and French Open Radio at FFT.fr. I'm going to take you through the order of play for tomorrow. because there are some good matches, as you might imagine, on the cards. Tuesday, the 26th of May, will begin on Châtrier with the number one seed, Aryna Sabalenka, up against Jessica Bouzas-Manero. Then it'll be Stefanos Tsitsipas against Alexandra Muller. Dangerous match for Tsitsipas, who's not been in good form of late. He's ranked in the 80s now. Really struggled. Then Coco Gauff, the number four seed, defending champion, against Taylor Townsend, fellow American. Could be an entertaining battle. Followed by the night session by Yannick Sinner, the number one seed on the men's side, against Clément Tabour, the wild card from France. On Suzanne Lenglen, Daniel Medvedev, who's found a bit of form of late.
My dark horse.
Adam Walton of Australia.
That's the kiss of death based on today,
exactly.
And indeed many years.
That's right. At least mine lasted more than the first hour this year. That's good. Naomi Osaka follows Medvedev on Suzanne Lenglen. She plays Laura Siegemund.
Potentially.
Could be a tester.
Yeah, potentially quite a difficult one for Osaka, that one.
I think conditions will help Osaka in that, but still, you never know. She's an awkward customer, as Siegemund. Anna Kalinskaya up against last year's heroine, Loic Boisson, on third match on Lenglen tomorrow. And then it'll be Ogier Aliassime against Altmaier.
Yeah, that's a difficult one for Boisson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coming in here, so much expectation on her after last year. It's a total reverse in lots of ways, isn't it? And also just the ranking pressure of suddenly your career can change with a win or a defeat there.
Exactly.
With the rolling WTA ranking system, same on the men's side as well, it really punishes if you don't match a result that you made last year. And when that result is a Grand Slam semi-final, well, that's quite a punishment. That can suddenly take you out, out of the kind of
top level.
Certainly the top level, and even further down.
Marin Cilic will kick things off over on Court Simon Mathieu. That's 11 o'clock start, as is Lenglen. But very interesting first round match. Of course, Cilic, a veteran these days, against Moise Kouame, one of these young French players coming through. He's ranked 318 now, but he's very much on the way up. A lot of people think he's going to be a big, big star. That could be a real test for Cilic. Then it'll be... I thought I saw that Kopriva has pulled out. But that's... I think I'm right. So I was about to say Vit Kopriva was playing. Maybe I'm just confusing two players. We get a lot of information. Oh, no, it was Patrick Gibson who pulled out, not Kopriva. So
it's very like broadcasting with Marcus.
As you were, Vit Kopriva up against Corentin Moutet.
And up past two.
Then it'll be Madison Keys up against Hannah van der Winkel of Belgium. That's a good name, one I haven't seen too much around. And then Kim Burrell against the number five seed, Jesper Gula. So interesting, good matches on all the main show courts. Plenty happening on the outside courts as well. The likes of Alexander Bublik, had a good run here last year. Up against Jan-Lennard Struff, that could be tough.
Court 14,
Victoria.
I was just going to say, the opener on court 14 is one I'm really looking forward to. Ivanovic against Alex Iala, two really of the big rising stars of the women's game.
And the last match on court 14 is Victoria Mboko against Batunkova. So that'll be fascinating.
Probably belongs in that category as well. You get
Ninth seed.
I mean, she's arguably not so much a rising star as a risen star.
Ninth seed this year. Pretty amazing rise that she has had. So they're all on tomorrow's schedule, Tuesday. But for today, as we are very much in the heat of the day, we are waiting for Casper Ruud and Roman Safiulin to come out on court Simon Mathieu. We'll be imminently coming out on court. In fact, I see on our monitor that Safiulin is busy practicing, well, at least air shots in the corridor. Let's keep you up to date elsewhere. Talia Gibson won the first set against Yulia Putintseva, 6-4, but she's 5-4 down. It's set point to Putintseva serving for that set. Could be going the distance. It is 5-4 Jean-Jean against Chevedo in the second set on court 14. Chevedo winning the first. We are going five sets on court 6. Tanasi Kokkinakis and Terence Atman. Tommy Paul still on serve with... Oh, no. Ricky Hijikata has just broken the Tommy Paul serve. So he's going to serve for that first set. We've got 13, 30-15 up on serve. And Mariano Navone is a game away from victory. He leads Jensen Brooksby 6-4, 6-4, 5-3 over on court number 4. And on court, Philippe Chatrier beneath our commentary position. Hugo Humbert is easing his way towards victory, it would seem, against Adrian Mannarino. Famous last words. He leads two sets to love. And be on another, the serve at 1-2.
Another 5 hours.
And Mannarino, with his bald head, he's not wearing a cap. He must be roasting in the sun. Humbert, a lot curlier hair, probably a mop of hair on his hair. It's also hot, serving at 30 all at 1-2. Thinks he's found an ace out wide on the juice court, but hasn't, because it's just wide. Casper Ruud gets his bags together. It's time to get ready. Roman Safiulin is ready. Ruud practicing as well with his cap on. And now he brings himself to the verge of the court, and we're going to see the three-time Grand Slam runner-up, who's found some form of late.
Ce premier tour du tournoi de Roland Garros, tableau masculin 2026. Avec pour commencer, il a 28 ans, il est 141e mondial. Il sort tout juste des qualifications. Voici mesdames et messieurs Roman Safiulin.
Roman Safiulin makes his way onto court, ranked 141 these days.
Face à lui, il a 27 ans, il est norvégien, il a été deux fois finaliste ici à Roland-Garros, il est tête de série 15, voici Casper Ruud.
And Casper Ruud, the Norwegian who reached the final 2 years in a row. Starting to find form. He's one of those players, I think these conditions, I mentioned it yesterday when we started, will really help, because he's going to rip that ball up high on the forehand. He'll enjoy this kind of weather. And interesting to see, you know, how he performs these 2 weeks.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, I think he's, as you said, he's somebody who he didn't exactly go off the boil, but by his high standards, and he'd set a very high standard and been very consistent, the level had dropped a bit, and certainly below his expectations. As he's made that very clear, he wasn't happy being at that ranking. It didn't sit well with him. Of course, he's become a father and in recent months, and he's had other things going on in his life as well, but it's good, I think, for the sport to see him back. He's a very popular player, and he is a challenger. You know, he's certainly somebody who has had fantastic results here, as you said, and has beaten big players.
He's had a good clay court season. Started off by reaching the last 16 in Monte Carlo, where he actually had to retire. But then he bounced back from that to reach the quarters in Madrid, lost to Alexander Bloks, who's another newcomer on the tour, the big game. And had a fantastic Rome, where he beat Lehechka, Musetti, Hashanov, Dardari, and lost to Yannick Sinner in the final. And by all accounts, the 6-4, 6-4 loss to Yannick Sinner is not that bad.
I mean, no. He's not the first, and he won't be the last.
Decided to go and play Geneva, even though he didn't need to. Got to the semis there, lost to Navone.
Can you take the orange?
So he's had plenty of matches, 20 and 11 on the year.
Best of five. And he is a player who historically, as always, wanted lots of matches.
And if you need ball mark inspection, stop clearly, use your voice, please. Yeah. Have any questions?
Video review?
No thing. Roman, we have 2026.
Nice try, though.
Any questions? Casper Ruud says video review. Umpire says no thing.
Roland Garros.
I think that got the message across, didn't it?
Have a good match. Yeah.
There's no video review because it's on clay.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Still used linesman here for line calls and everything else. And the umpire makes the judgment on double bounces and so on.
You think Casper Ruud was having a
little bit of a laugh?
Just being a funny?
I don't know. Maybe. No, I don't know how much. I don't think the players look at the rules, do they?
He's probably, his brain is in the zone and trying to concentrate, and he's so used to there being the sort of rituals of the ATP tour that perhaps he's just had slightly forgotten where he was.
27 years of age, and of course, you know, the other Grand Slam, the other Masters Thousands on clay do have automated line calling now, and so and probably video review for a lot of them. So they are probably in that mindset where they think that's what's happening every week. So good of him to ask, because otherwise if there was a contentious issue, he would be a little bit stuck. 27 years of age now, Casper Ruud. Dressed in orange shorts, white shirt, white cap, blue racket. Plenty of colour on the court. And as you said, Eleanor, it's coming out to an empty stadium, which is an odd thing, isn't it? It's not just because the match before is finished and it was Stan Wawrinka and it was a, you know, sort of a dramatic or emotional ending, but because it's very hot.
Yes, and people just need a break. You need to rehydrate, and you know, very, very sensibly, they're going off, perhaps finding a bit of shade. And also, with best of five men's matches, you know you've probably got a bit of time. You could probably pop out for half an hour.
Exactly. Might be three all in the first set.
Yes.
Miss that much.
So it's very, very understandable. You know, sometimes people, when they're watching at home, obviously on mute, listening to us.
Of course.
It can feel a bit disrespectful. Well, you've got tickets for Roland Garros, and it's a bit ungrateful to then not be sitting in your show court seat to watch, but I think it's very reasonable in these conditions.
Absolutely. Roman Sefulin, a Russian. His record here is 1-3. Then he got to the second round once. And a big task for him up against Casper Ruud. You would think... It's his fourth main draw appearance, as we said. Coached by a Norwegian. It's about the link between the two. Ringdal Norstanis, who was born in December 98, the same month as Casper Ruud.
Professionnel depuis 2015, il compte 14 titres à son palmarès.
He might not be at the ranking that he has been in the past, because he has been ranked 36 at best. But he is on a bit of a run in low-level events. He's 16-1 at the moment. So he's playing some good tennis. But this is his first tour-level event since last year's US Open. So it's a step up again. But a step back to where he has been playing.
And that's why it's always dangerous to look at kind of stratas of one tour and not actually look. Because there are lots of players who picked up lots of wins. And you know, it varies from tournament to tournament, but you and I both know that the level at the highest ATP Challenger is not that different to an ATP 250 event, and likewise in the women's game.
No, we've seen of late how many people have sort of broken through from those levels.
8 minute.
And they come through match-hardened because there's not a lot of prize money at those events, but it's enough for people to try and earn a living, and they're scraping through and doing their best, and it's gritty, it's tough work. Mm. It's not glamorous, it's often not on TV. If you're lucky, there's a live stream somewhere from those tournaments, and you have to be a very, very good competitor and a good athlete to come through those.
Absolutely. We'll be handing over very shortly. Sophie Amiak is looking. She's cooling down at the moment. looks great.
She's been out signing books all day. It's tough work.
Whose books have you been signing?
I've signed quite a bit.
I bet you have. It's very good. It'll be Gigi's coming back with Sophie in a minute. So I was going to make a joke. If it was Marcus, I was going to say we should switch to Court Suzanne Longland, where Tsiantsoa Rakotomanga Rajanoa is about to play. But I think Gigi being the Empress doesn't need that.
No.
She, of course, handily calls herself Sarah Rakotomanga.
Tiara.
Yeah, Tiara. Yeah. It'd be a tough one. I mean, Amanda Anisimova is a handful at sometimes, or a mouthful. But Rakotomanga Rajanoa, that'll be much more difficult. So thankfully, we're leaving in a minute.
Yeah.
For everyone concerned. Listeners, everybody. It'll be Gigi and Sophie in a few moments' time. Basically, as this match started, they've finished the warm-up. Quick update, what else is going on? Umber's broken in the third set. He leads 3-2, two sets to love up on Adrian Mannarino. It's 5-3 Rublev over Ignacio Buse on court 7. Early stage of the fifth set between Kokkinakis and Atman on 6. Mariano Navone is serving for the match against Jenson Brookby at the third set. And Casper Ruud is just putting his towel down by the side of the court, having a quick chat with some people over there. Talia Gibson has dropped the second set to Yulia Putintseva, so they're a settle. And early stages of the third. Hubert Hurkacz, 2 sets to love up on Hume Muna. Rinky Hijikata is taking the first set against Tommy Paul. Tommy Paul, I don't know if anyone in our team picked him as a dark horse, but he's one of those players that often is in the mix for that kind of thing. Good player on clay, but finds himself a set down to Hijikata of Australia. That's an interesting one over on court 13. But we are getting underway now on court Simon Mathieu. Casper Ruud looking to build his way into this tournament. Starts with a lovely inside-in forehand. And it's funny, he's had a few little injuries. Of late, you mentioned he became a father. He had that sort of time in Australia this year where he was playing, but he was half thinking about whether he was going to have to dash back to Norway. Not a dash, of course, but 24 hours. But
it's never a dash from Australia to Norway.
Get back as fast as you can. luckily for him, the timings worked out and he was there when the baby was born later on. So he's become a new dad, maybe a little bit inspired, and back playing some good tennis on his favourite surface.
Well, a lot of people say that, a lot of players say when they become a parent, it sort of takes the pressure off in lots of ways because they have something that's more important in their life than tennis.
Yeah, exactly. And if that's the case, then you're just enjoying being out on the court, doing what you love best. 15 all. 1/3 of Court Simon Mathieu is in shade, and the other 2/3 are in very bright sunlight. Double fault from Safiulin. 15-30. Last thing he wants to do is hand Ruud a break in the first game, of course.
Casper Ruud's put his towel up the side of the court, as you said, next to the box, but not in the box.
Is that like putting stuff next to the dishwasher, but not in the dishwasher?
Yes. But you know, in our house, it just washes itself up. It's
Does
amazing.
It? That's
you
just, miraculous.
You put it next to the sink, you walk away, and the next time you go into the kitchen...
I think that might be what a couple of members of my family think happens in the household. If you're listening, stick it in the dishwasher.
A couple of memories. There are only 2 others in your household.
Well, it could be extended family. Could be everyone. It does remind me of my younger brothers, actually, as well.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Chats we've had over the years. Never won that one. Never won that argument. 30-year-old Safiulin just serving in this opening game. 28 years of age from Podolsk in Russia. As we're saying, first tour-level event this year. Amanda Anisimova is taking the opening game over on long length against Rakitamanga Rajanova. Good to see Anisimova on the court because she has had a big struggle with a wrist injury and we know how tough they can be.
Yes, it seems to be the summer of wrist injuries, unfortunately.
Yeah.
On both the men's and the women's side.
Well, the players are playing a lot these days, aren't they? Longer Masters series, 2000s, over 12 days and stuff like that.
Hitting it harder.
Hitting it much harder, yeah. Very physical sport. What's going on? Game points to Safiulin in the opening game, and he doesn't make the forehand. It's deuce, goes long. Message from Rachel. From, where's she from? Chicago, but she's been in Barcelona for almost 15 years. She especially loves the shout-outs to my fellow Wimby Barga friends, I think she says. I'm only slowing down there because my eyesight's not good enough to see it.
Do you want the glasses?
No, it's all right. Alia, Madamita and Arvind. Ah, we all became friends thanks to the tennis podcast. So glad that Alina pulled that out as I picked her to win. And you all did a great job covering that with Stan going on at the same time. Thanks, Rachel. And she says, OK, now go, Amanda. Well, as Gigi makes her way into the commentary box to take over the Chansoa Rakitamanga Rajanova match. Are you going to switch to that? Sarah, I know she's called Sarah, yeah, thankfully. She calls herself Sarah to help everyone, which is very, very kind of her.
Thank you.
First game point, Safiulin. Thank God for that, because that would be ball by ball on her matches would be tough.
Casper Ruud's a bit easier to say, isn't it?
Casper Ruud is right in the wheelhouse of commentators. Perfect names.
Except when he's playing Holger Rune.
Yeah, that's
tricky.
Or Holger Une, as it's supposed to be here. And that's hard to remember as well. Kick serve from Säffelin. Pulls Ruud out of court, but then he makes a mess of forehand, goes wide.
18.
That's juice. It's 4-2 Humbert over Manarino in the third set. Two sets to love. 32 seed leads. Very much in charge from the start in this one. Still can't believe Manarino's not wearing a cap.
It never does.
I hope he's got sunscreen
on. Even in this weather,
on.
It's amazing.
He never does.
Maybe he should look at the scoreboard and think, if only I'd worn a cap. He's probably thinking, if only I was 30, not nearing the other end of the decade. Ruud goes up the line to Säffelin, looking to get this early break in this opening game, but pulls the forehand into the tramlines.
Avantage, Säffelin.
Sophie, is it still as hot outside as it has been?
I'm just looking for the beach, and I can't find the water. This is a weather to be in the Côte d'Azur, with a little rosé at 5 p.m.
I don't think that fits in the rota.
Nope.
Or by a swimming pool.
Yes.
Just before the Paris Olympics, not during, I found this amazing swimming pool on a boat on the Seine.
Oh.
On a boat on the Seine.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was interesting.
Wonderful. Can't tell us where.
Ruud plays a nice...
I can't possibly
little
feel
chip
that.
Backhand.
But it was amazing. It had a little
draws an arrow
on
the backhand from Säffelin, and we go on.
I actually know about
that. Juice.
Not that far from the Eiffel Tower.
Is there any tennis being played?
Yeah, right behind you.
I'm so sorry.
We can't see it, but apparently it's happening.
Someone's standing in front of the screen.
Yeah, they are.
I wonder who that is.
A lot of hard work in this opening game for Säffelin to hold serve. Probably knows that his afternoon is going to be tough, just based on this game alone, let alone the reputation and... tennis of Ruud. A few people dribbling in.
Well, it's like they're all on the left side.
Yeah, they were. Well, I would be as well. That's the one in the shade.
Very sensibly.
Serves to Ruud's backhand, just waits for it, pulls it inside in. And then he mishits the backhand and goes, I thought I was going to go into the tram.
I thought it was wide.
Yeah, it looked wide. And then they go backhand to backhand. Säffelin straight down the middle. Ruud can start to attack. He's trying to keep it away from Ruud's forehand, clearly. Ruud not doing enough to get round it yet. Now he might. Here's the forehand from Ruud, and that's why Säffelin was trying to keep the ball away from the forehand of Ruud, because he thunders it into the open court.
Avantage.
It sounded like a thunder.
Yeah, I do think these conditions are going to help Ruud a lot. He wants that ball leaping up high on his opponent.
And unsurprising that Jannickson is playing in the evening tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes.
That request went in early, didn't it?
About a week ago.
We would really like.
We would appreciate.
I think.
And Djokovic is going in. And on the other nights, I will do those nights.
It's a tough one, though, for the tournament, because Sinner is so dominant. As Säffelin plays a nice serve volley.
This could be 45 minutes.
You know, that match could be really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the argument is made for... putting a long match on to give value for money for the crowd. Yes, it's great to see Jannik Sinner, of course, world number one. But you want to be out there for a while, and his opponent's going to have to work hard to make that happen based on recent form.
Yes, but also in tennis, as we've seen many, many times, and certainly today, you just never know. You never know what's going to happen.
And that one, true. I think I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
We never know, but in that one, I got a really good... A little bit like through Madrid and Rome. I had a pretty good idea.
I'm trying to add some jeopardy. So,
but it'll be amazing to see him in action under the lights.
Against French wildcard Clément Tabour.
Yes.
Who could be
with
a
crowd behind him. And oh, my gosh, it's going to be...
I just was trying to tee it up.
I know, sorry.
It could be the shock.
But we mustn't mislead people. At the same time.
It was misleading. I was just saying you never know.
We do know.
Who's on that 45-minute light night shift
tomorrow? Marcus Neliner.
Look at that. Celebrations. Excellent stuff. Game points.
You are. Marcus is on that also tomorrow night?
I'm on it tonight.
Yeah.
With Marcus.
Oh, that's right.
And then he will... have a late start tomorrow. Don't worry, I'm not working too hard. He'll have a nice late start tomorrow.
Didn't do anything yesterday.
So am I.
He's had the whole day off.
He's been celebrating Spurs.
He had plenty of time to say a lot of words about me today on the air.
Did he?
Oh, don't worry. He's docking my pay, apparently.
Well, at least you were listening. It's good you were listening.
Oh, I was listening. I was typing, saying, are you done?
He said on air today that he really wants to bump into Henri Leconte. He wants 5 minutes with him. I've seen Henri Leconte every day.
20 times, me too.
And just then, I got in the lift with him, and we were chatting away, and I was trying not to laugh, because I thought Marcus would love to be in this position right now with a microphone saying, talk to me about Yannick Noah.
Somewhere on Henri Leconte's phone is a selfie he took with me that's on his phone.
And oh, that's funny. He's like, who's that? Just kidding.
No, he absolutely
just
would.
Just saying.
He would absolutely be like that.
You know, Henri.
It was in a Legends mix zone at the Australian Open about
was it a late night? Night?
Seven yeah. or 8 years ago.
You and I went.
And he just got his phone out and said, shall we do a selfie? Took it on his phone, put his phone back in the pocket and walked off.
Nice.
I'd never met him before.
That's funny.
Or since.
I was going to say we'll hand over to you after this game, but I could be here in about an hour and a half.
You keep going.
10 minutes in.
This is the same game?
Yeah, 10 minutes, first game. Game points.
I've been paying attention,
have I? Huge backhand return from Ruud in terms of height, but not in terms
of
content. And it's back to Juice. Well,
carry
it's going to go
on
fine. Forever. Interesting. When this is the sort of game that would just kill you
this
if you're
Cipulin,
wouldn't you?
2 hours game.
Or this could be the longest game
in
ever.
In history?
I'm back at 7. I could just sit here. Just stay here.
Yeah, why not?
You're not going anywhere.
Sophie can take it easy.
As usual.
Rest her writing hand.
I nearly went for Busey as my
dark horse.
But
that
I
would
can't,
be a dark horse.
No, but I can't put anyone against Rublev. Oh, can't. Yeah. I just can't do that.
Also.
Because I want Rublev to win.
Also, you want someone better than that, perhaps. More of a chance, maybe?
No, dark horse, I think you should take a chance.
Well, yeah, of course.
You've got Medvedev. Stop it. Not having that.
It's
and
game
Sophie
point.
Wanted Ruud. I mean, who? What chance is anyone taking?
Who else wanted Ruud? Someone else as well.
I think Medvedev Courtney. Is much more of a chance than Ruud.
What, the Grand Slam champion, four world number
Not
one, Daniel
here.
Medvedev?
Has made a still, final here.
But still is.
I feel some tension here tonight.
Yes.
Honestly, the dark horse.
You allowed it.
Chatter. Well, I have to live with you for 2 weeks.
That's
I wasn't
true.
Going to start causing issues. We're sharing a house together.
That's a very good point. I would have taken that very personally.
Is this game still happening?
Yep.
11 minutes.
Almost 12 now.
It is almost 12.
Almost 12.
From 11 so it goes to 12?
Apparently, yeah. Wow. Oh, and now it's going on as well, so it's rude. Can't.
Wow.
Oh,
my word.
It's over.
Wow.
Hey,
that's the first game. First game, well done. We're going to leave this cracker, this nail biter. We will return, but we are going to go to court. Susan Longlin, Sarah against Amanda.
Are you going to say it so we know who it is for everybody else listening?
I want you to say it.
All right,
lovely French accent. You are going to sit down at some point, are you? So I can see.
I could. Tomanga Rajaona from France.
But she says, call me Sarah.
But call me Sarah. And we're going to go with Sarah. So for those of you who are joining later, well,
I will
shame
see
on
French
you.
Women a lot, probably. In this.
There you go.
Wow, Kokkinakis, Atman still going. Of course it is. 3 hours, 37. Now,
at least he's an Aussie.
Big thing, Rakotomanga. So they're just saying Rakotomanga.
Yeah.
So the big thing about Amanda Anisimova, for those who haven't been following the tennis circuit, is she's had wrist problems, pulled out of a couple of events. This is her first tournament back. There were people who saw the strapping in the practice here at Roland Garros and thought she wouldn't actually step up for this first match. So in terms of expectations, I think it's a tricky one because wrists are delicate things. We don't know how serious it was. And this is her first tournament back.
Yeah, and on top of that, the wrist, it's the left wrist, which is engaging her best shot in her tennis, which is the backhand.
Oh, beautiful
so
shot.
That doesn't help. As she just hits one long
Rakotomanga
here.
And it's going to be great crowd.
Rakotomanga, man,
it's going to be great crowd support because she's a French player. But it is very early stages. But as I say, Amanda Anisimova. And remember, in the coaching situation, Rick Vleeschouwers, they separated ways. So in terms of getting that settled coaching, a lot has gone on in the world and the life of Amanda Anisimova this year. And remember, the year that she had last year was absolutely cracking with two Grand Slam finals, Wimbledon and the US Open. Sophie, what are you doing?
I get tangled.
Did you pull out the thing?
I did. I pulled out all of a sudden. I was like... like micless. You know, difficult that is for me.
Did you do that on purpose? Did someone do that? Is that done?
It's only the second
Come on
day.
Now. I know, and they're already pulling the plug.
They're already pulling the plug on me.
Earth is going on here. But no, we're going to be with you for the next couple of hours, and it's lovely to be with you. I'm going to keep an eye on everything because there is tennis all over the place.
Reprise.
That is the wonderful thing about these early rounds. First meeting, as you expect, Rakitamanga, wild card, 155 in the world. Anisimova is a 6 seed and she's the world number 6. Rakitamanga, second main draw appearance here, fell in the first round last year, also as a wild card. And you remember Anisimova, this is what everyone went back to in 2019, when age 17 she reached the semi-finals. Then poor young lady, a lot happened in her life with the passing of her father, and just
really
had to work her way back.
Yeah, that was really a really tough time for her, because her father was her father but also a coach, so very close together and with one another. And yeah, that took a while for her to really mentally, unfortunately, get back into thinking about playing tennis.
She took a break, didn't she? She said, I'm going to do other things, and she enjoyed her life, but at the same time she said she missed tennis. Mm-hmm. Rakitamanga goes through the middle of the court, comes on a short ball, plays the drop shot, here comes Anisimova. Lovely change up from Rakitamanga.
Very smart. And you know, this court is very difficult to play right now, as we're looking on the image. It's very, very dark on one side. The shadow is taking half of the court, so it's quite difficult, you know, to time the ball, to really look at the ball, to keep the ball and keep the eyes on the ball constantly, because that darkness really changes completely you know, everything, the flight of the ball. You really have to pay attention.
5:15 local time in the afternoon. Rakitamanga looking to back up this early break against Anisimova. She's got a white visor on Rakitamanga, the hair tied into a plait that goes down between her shoulder blades. She double faults.
Ganza.
Very good player. I mean, I've loved watching her. I like the way that she's obviously hitting from the baseline. She can play all around game, and the lefty is definitely helpful, you know, as a left-handed player, as I often say. There's an advantage to it with those 3 out of 4 game points played on the ad side.
Serves down the tee. We lose the ball because of the shade that Sophie's been talking about. And Anisimova, there's the backhand. It's such a beauty. That is my favorite shot in women's tennis, is her backhand.
I agree. I think it's pure beauty. It's so simple, so pure technically, and does the job, pays a lot of bills.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember, we were talking about Jankovic back in that was paying the mortgages every year, and that one is, it's different though, very different, but both of them are very
very effective.
Efficient.
Yes. Yeah.
Effective.
So Rakitamanga, 15-30, 2-1. Serves out wide, the backhand is crunched cross court for a winner.
Imagine beautiful outfit. Love that light pink.
Like a dusky pink.
Yeah.
Slightly darker pink on the visor and the sweatbands. And then Aryna Sabalenka, we know, has got the black version of the dress, as did a player yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of custom kits, Nike, they do it for Osaka, and they say in 2027 they are looking at doing certain custom kits for certain players. And you'd have to think Sabalenka would be the next sort of cab off the rank, as it were, because it's kind of crazy. She's got all these sort of Gucci and all these other endorsements, but doesn't have her own kit. Backhand to the forehand of Anisimova going cross court. There's the break back. There was a little cry from Anisimova, and it's 2 games all.
Deux jeux partout.
Yeah, a little bit of lack of control on that last back end from the racket of Sarah, the French woman, but when she's in it, and you know, being too old and against one of the best players in the world, of course, knowing that she's coming from really tangible feelings physically, you have to be out there thinking, I have a chance.
Start of the fifth game, kicks a serve down the tee. We should say it is match point for Hugo Humbert on Philippe Chatrier against his countryman. Backhand thundering these through the court. Oh my word. Rakitabanga got very lucky. She even got a racket on that ball. She was never going to find the court. It was a drop shot, but it was awful. It sat up high and it waved at Anna Smova and said, I'm coming, hit me.
Also known as the lob drop shot.
Dearie me.
Yeah, she's lucky, you're right, to get a racket on the back end of Anisimova after that, but again, can control the ball.
Umber has won. The 32nd seed is through in 2 hours.
Umber, I love the way you said that.
How would you like
it? No, it's, I like it because it's kind of, it's got some little zing, little music to it.
How would you say it?
Well, we say it Umber.
Umber.
Umber. But Umber is cute. I like it. I like it better, actually. Umber. Umber.
Oh, service return winner from Rakitabanga, who did say when, because her name is quite long, and it was in Australia, and everyone was saying, oh, it's quite a long name. She said, no, just call me Sarah. And it's like, great.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
Because her first name is Tian Soa. 15 all, 2 all, serve out wide. The backhand is looping and sits up. Flattened out backhand cross court from Anisimova. She's really playing into the Anisimova backhand, which is quite brave.
Yeah, right.
And then she switches it cross court to the forehand and gets the winner. It's opening up the forehand side.
Yeah, I think if she's able to find some cross court short, I'd like to go to the backhand. But otherwise, when you get the depth to the backhand, it's, yeah, sometimes you're lucky to see the ball.
15:30, little opening for the French player. Second appearance at Roland Garros. Anisimova is just tossing the ball up into the bright sunshine, and the shadow is creeping over. Very shortly we won't be able to see anything because that shadow is creeping its way over. And Anisimova looking up to the heavens again, and break points for her opponent.
Yeah, we're almost three quarters of the court in the complete shade here. Players are happy, but I tell you, it's very difficult to see the ball.
Coming from the shade into the sunshine, the backhand to the feet, Anisimova, who redirects, she nets.
Rakitabanga.
That's three breaks in a row. We have to remember that Manda Anisimova split up with Rick Vlieshaus, who started working with Loïs Boisson.
Yeah, it's interesting. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, I don't know. Well, I feel like you've got stuff to tell us. But I did hear that between Anisimova and Vlieshaus, it had been quite strained. So, therefore, that was a natural ending. Surprised to see him pop up with Boisson.
Well, I'm surprised about anything that's going on with Boisson since the last year. I don't understand what's been going on besides...
In terms of what?
In terms of everything, the choices that she's made after Roland Garros, for example. Number one choice, when you finish in the semifinal of a major, I think mentally you're thinking about the next major and being maybe seated there to do even better, or to be in the contention of, you know, being that top player that you all of a sudden became and play top 10 tennis at the... But she decided to not play any tournaments on grass before Wimbledon qualies. Gets to Wimbledon qualies, I'm sorry to say, but very inexperienced because she's never really played on grass.
She was a top seed in qualies, wasn't she?
Yeah, but top seed of what? When you never play on grass. And then I don't think the staff had many experience on grass. Didn't take any help from anybody outside to maybe guide her a little bit. Loses first round, I saw the match. She was basically playing like a 200 player in the world, not understanding the grass. And then decided to, instead of prepare on hard court for the season on hard court, to go play on clay. Well, she wins the tournament, mind you, but she gets injured. So you go from grass to back to clay, wins the tournament, gets injured with her thigh.
Is that Hamburg?
Yeah. And then it started to go downhill after that. Because then she gets another injury because she's compensating for that one, that one, that one, that one. Then it's not diagnosed well. Then it's not this. Then they don't know how to treat it. Then they never, et cetera, et cetera. It's like a roller coaster of mistakes that now brings her in September, where she picks another coach with Martinez, and then plays one tournament, I think one round, comes back, is injured again, then comes back with another coach, with Vekic, what's his name, the coach who was with Vekic for all these years, from the Netherlands.
Well, she's with Anisimova's coach, the Dutch Rick Vlieshaus.
Yes.
That's Anisimova's coach.
Anisimova, yeah. Sorry, not Vekic.
Not Vekic.
Sorry. And Then she stops with him.
That didn't last long.
No.
Zero count.
And goes back with our old coach from last year here, who she got rid of. And I'm going, okay, personally, I'm exhausted. And I'm thinking, how do you focus on, and she's failing, but the one positive thing is that she said she's 100% physically. So that's a huge plus, because now she has played 6 matches, I think, in the beginning of the year. So
that's tough. And then she comes in here.
Which she could drop to what? Points. 120?
Yeah, this is the problem. We saw this with Jack Draper coming back from injuries, and he wasn't able to be fully fit. That's a break to love for Anisimova for 3-all. Wasn't able to defend his Indian Wells points, and he will now need a wild card for Wimbledon. Mm. And that's not because of bad decisions, it's just what happens when you cannot, for whatever reason, defend your points, and you've got a lot of points to defend, mm-hmm. you can drop like a stone.
Well, especially if, you know, it's been a year. The longer it gets, the longer you obviously
and all the pressure that builds up, saying, right, now you've just got to defend them here, or that's it.
Yeah, and she's obviously drawn a seeded player as Kalitskaya, who has been playing some really good tennis of late.
Consistently.
Yeah. So, who's somebody to attack the ball. Listen, it's the whole thing to me has been mismanaged in many ways, but I sure hope that she gets back into it, because what she did last year and what we saw last year was poetic in a way.
It's incredible.
Zero pets.
But these two, I mean, really, I think Anisimova is feeling it right now. There's no consistency on either side.
Yeah, it's up and down. It's everywhere, right?
13 unforced errors from Anisimova. 6 from her opponent. I think, as Sophie said, that the shade and the sun and the this and the that, it's not ideal.
No, she keeps looking at the ball when she tosses it, taking it back. And Anisimova right now, love 15-3 all.
Serves into the center of the box. It's slapped back and it's missed cross court and wide. So 15-all. We have a winner, Yulia Putintseva, 6-1 in the third, against Talia Gibson of Australia. And the winners come through. Loads of courts in action, still loads of tennis. The day session on Philippe Chatrier has finished, though. So the next match you'll get is Hugo Gaston against Gael Monfils at 8:15, as Anisimova goes back behind with the backhand to edge ahead. 26 minutes play, coming up to 5:30. Last match before this match for Anisimova was Miami, round of 16, lost to Belinda Bencic. Not finding that first serve. Dumped that halfway down the bottom of the net. Up for the second serve. That ball toss was so high, she actually reset, caught it, going again. Serves down the tee. The off backhand's in play through the middle of the court. Back through the middle goes Rakitamanga. Rakitamanga with the forehand whip cross court into the shade. The ball comes out of the shade with the backhand. Now the forehand inside out. Just from Anisimova. Wow.
Now she hit two of those forehands inside out. One was close and the other one closer to the line, maybe on the line. And won the point. I think Sarah thought this one was going to fly out, but none of it. Right on.
Oh. Oof. Game points to get a hold of serve and to edge ahead and have the scoreboard lead. But again, not happy with the ball toss. Tossing it, dropping it, resetting. Ace down the tee.
Anisimova.
Changement bas ramassé, s'il vous plaît. Hold. So 4-3. We have a hold of serve.
Oui. Anisimova, it is 28 minutes now on the clock and 7 games played. And we almost full shadow and shade on this court. We're going to have to turn the lights on soon.
I know, for us especially. Can't see the ball where it's coming from or going to. So what's been your storyline of 2026? Either a player, a storyline, a moment?
Svitolina. I mean, I watched and I covered Rome for the World Feature. You were in Rome, right? And as far as the women's concern, is definitely Svitolina. I was so impressed to see how she was able to. Did she win today against Bonda, or did she end up?
Yeah, she did.
End up winning. Because I was watching. I watched the first set, and then she was up 4-1 when I had to go and shower and come back to work.
Yeah. Necessary.
Yeah,
yes.
Necessary after what I did this morning, because I did a little bit of pickleball, emceeing the pickleball for the French Tennis Federation, which they are. So anyway, yes, Svitolina, it's Svitolina not 2.0, because that's how she was when she came back from maternity leave. It's Svitolina 3.0 now, because now we are seeing somebody who's 31 years old who is attacking the ball like I've never seen, and surviving long matches against, what, top 2, 3, and 4 she beats?
Oh, that was insane,
in Rome?
That run. Yeah, the run
seriously.
In Rome.
Seriously.
And the amount of break points she saved.
Oh, wow.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Right.
Yeah, it's so nice to see her playing. Uh-huh. And I spent a lot of time actually between matches with his coach Andrew Battles.
Yep,
he's very good friends with Laura. And so most days we were sitting chatting with him. What a lovely man.
He's a great guy. And not only that, he's a great coach.
Yeah.
I mean, what he says on the court, it's always thoughtful. It's always the right time, the right moment. And the way that he's delivering is also phenomenal. So, yeah. Actually met him the night that they were doing the night for Gaël. Mon fils had a little chat, introduced myself, because at WTA, you know, World Feed, we're never on site except for the finals.
Yes,
so they don't
exactly.
know us. So I'm intruding, and he goes, "Oh, I recognize the voice." So that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's a lovely man. Yeah. He really is.
Remember in 2018 when she won the Singapore?
Yeah.
Coming from nowhere, because she was the alternate. She came in last in from somebody, I don't remember who actually withdrew. And everybody's like, oh yeah, she has no chance. Wins the whole thing. He was a sparring partner at the time. And she, that night, after she won the final, elevated him to coach.
And they have had time apart.
Yes.
But they came back together, and he spent a little bit of time coaching Gaël as well.
Yes, which was great.
But he's really nice. He has his life outside of tennis as well. Fairly recently married, I think that was last year.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just a very nice, normal guy.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's, yeah, very
genuine.
Nice to talk to
him.
Yeah, very genuine, very normal.
Yeah.
And it is lovely to see what
it's refreshing
is doing. I mean, this match is all over the shop. ball tosses are extraordinary right now.
She almost looks like her visor is like glowing in the dark.
Yeah, that's all we can see
dark.
Is her visor, can't we?
Because it's white.
And her outfit's
sort
of grey.
Yeah.
So she's blending into the shadows. They both are. It's just their... Oh, double faults.
40.
Break points.
Yeah, double break points now against the French woman. Big brace on the right ankle. Sarah, French girl.
Right, it's a 5-3 in the first. Misses the first serve. Not quite sure anyone can see where it's going, but she's going to give another go. Firm bounces of the ball. Anisimova leaning forward, swaying on the baseline. Runs around because she wants to take on the backhand. Doesn't get it.
She's almost too early on that backhand. That serve was quite low. Slow, sorry.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Hit it way too much in front of her. That landed in the alley.
Some cries of Sarah around the stadium. Second break point opportunity for Anisimova. Serve out wide. The backhand to the feet of Rakotomanga, who redirected up the line, swept cross court deep from Anisimova. Lovely angle from Rakotomanga, down the line from Anisimova. Cross court from Rakotomanga. Wow, what court coverage from the young lady.
Yeah, that was excellent. She really anticipated well, but I think that if you're going down the line on clay and you don't put it further enough or closer to the line, you are going to eat the next one. And that's exactly what happened. And it was not good enough down the line. And Sarah put that one cross court enough. Not much, but enough.
Yeah. Got her from 15:40 to juice. 5:30, 33 minutes played. We'll keep you across everything else that goes on. Tommy Paul's a set down, about to go a set up. And Kokkinakis got nearly 4 hours. No wonder that he's always injured. I mean, he's always on court, isn't he? His matches are epic. Anisimova, backhand. She's at the net, and she will have another opportunity to break. got to feel for Tanasi Kokkinen. His boy doesn't get himself involved in some matches. So now Terence Atman at 5-3 serving for the match after 3 hours and 58 minutes.
Does court 13 has any shade on this court? I don't think it has shade.
Court 6.
I looked at, court 6. There is no shade there.
No, there isn't.
Almost 4 hours.
We could
no
possibly
shade.
Dip over there after this and just maybe see the conclusion of that.
After this game?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because it's 5-3 serve.
I think so.
Yeah, serving. The Frenchman is serving for the match.
This one's not sort of gripping us, really. It's a couple of double faults in that game. So, Stefan, we